WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello and indeed and welcome, or whatever it is Dan says, to this here episode of BRB UK. It's a video game podcast where we talk about video games and sometimes people spending too much money on things that they might not need. With that in mind, it's Tim.
Hello.
Hi, Tim.
Have you noticed when it's just you and me on the podcast, we can't get one word into the podcast without people noticing that something's wrong? Not saying that you're wrong, just that, you know.
I'm pretty wrong.
As Dan always intros us, without him, we are introless.
Introless?
Introless.
That is my favourite spell in Harry Potter that we're not allowed to like anymore, apparently.
Yeah.
For political reasons.
That's not a thing anymore. It doesn't exist.
Tim,
Yes?
Dan is not with us this week.
He is
ducked out for work because of COVID
well noticed,
and stuff.
Well noticed, Coleman. Well done. Powers of observation, high.
I am not he. But I think that this is all a cover-up and he's not actually off for work. And I will tell you for why.
Oh, why?
Not only will we be talking about football.
Oh, he might have got wind of
or
that.
Or the pig bladdable, as Dan likes to call it. But also, we'll be talking about menus. And
I can see, like, if he saw football and menus on the menu, like, he footballed out of here.
He's high-tailed it out and gone. Done a runner.
Yeah.
But that leaves you and me, and we didn't grab a third this week because it was a bit touch and go. We didn't know if we were going to have a Dan today or not. So two-man show this week. We are going to try not to go on the rambling side of things too much. Famous last words as he records a four-hour podcast.
Just behind the scenes for the listeners. If it ever comes down to a two-man show, it's generally due to one of two factors. Either we weren't sure if Dan was going to be available and we kind of hung on because we kind of like doing it with the three of us where we can. Or we're down a person for whatever reason and Coleman really wants to edit quickly and actually get some sleep that evening because that's a reasonable thing for Coleman to want to do.
Well, while we're going behind the scenes, the reason for that is like I've got a thing worked out with work. So on a Thursday, they let me go at my, you know, I don't have to stay extra to finish up or anything. Like I can normally go at a reasonable time to go record the show. And then on the Friday, I work an evening shift instead of a morning shift. Because of these uncertain times and COVID and stuff, I work. I still get to go off my Thursday, but on the Friday, I'm then up very early in the morning and working.
Yeah.
And usually in the office as well. So I'll be up. I'll finish editing at like 2 a.m. and then go, right, 6 o'clock, I'm ready to go to work.
So just your regular reminder to thank Coleman for the podcast existing on a Friday. More often than not, it is definitely all he's doing.
Listening is thanks enough. Or watching, if you're watching the YouTube on Big Red Barrel TV on YouTube. Plug.
Yeah, you can do that now.
We have topics and we need to talk about them. We'll quickly gloss over the first one, but it's just an update. So we were talking about Lab Zero Games, the guys who created Indivisible and the Skullgirls games, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And there was a bit of a falling out between the majority of staff and Mike Zamont, who is the head of Lab Zero Games, which, from statements of other people, he might have kind of thrust himself into leadership against other people wanting that, and there seems to be some toxic allegations against him and what have you. The thing that came to the public light was that during a Skullgirls stream, he made a joke about I Can't Breathe, which is a big no-no in these modern times.
Yeah.
And too rightly, a lot of people are not so happy with him. So following on from that, we did say if there was any update, we would give said update on this here show. And 505 Games have given us an update. They said that there's going to be no further work on Indivisible, as they are the publishers of the game. Apart from anything that's currently been submitted. So at the moment, I believe there's an update that's meant to go through for Nintendo Switch, which adds Razmi's challenges, New Game Plus, Couch Co-op, basically the updates that will bring it in line with the PS4, Xbox, and PC versions of the game. And that was meant to have rolled out this week already. Other than that, there's not going to be any updates to the game. It's not being pulled from the stores. You can still buy it if you want it. And it is a good game, even though there is a bit of a tarnishing from the developer.
Yeah.
The other thing as well, I believe if you kickstarted the game, then there was a statue of the main character that you were meant to get if you went above a certain tier. Those are still going out, but they don't have a date on when those are going out. They're basically just going out when they're ready.
Considering this game's been out for a while and they're still talking about getting Kickstarter rewards out, that's not a good look.
I mean, I think Yacht Games finished the Shovel Knight backer bonuses something like 5 years after the game's release or whatever it was. So, but they constantly did it as it went on, and it was more additions to the game. So. There you go. But they, it's a shame. Indivisible was a, well, it is. It's a really good game. I've got it on the PC and I've got it on the Switch.
I mean, the one, and look, I'm not necessarily criticizing them for, you know, doing this at the time, but it seems like, I don't know how much other content there was to come, whether there was planned more content. Like, this could just be a thing where, you know, they're kind of making an announcement, they're cutting ties. But at the same time, is this bad for gamers? Will there be a lack of support there if there's a, you know, a game-breaking bug that comes up to light in the future or something? I just don't know. I don't know what that means for the game and for the people that already own the game. And it's difficult in that environment to know whether it's something we should continue to be promoting, because it's something I got a review copy of and talked about on the show. And generally, anything that we've talked about on the show, we like to, you know, keep people updated in case it was something that sparked someone's interest. And, you know, because we generally try and talk things about things that we think will be of interest to our audience. But yeah, I know. It's just, yeah, bit of a messy situation. I don't know if it's too reductive to say, like, it's not the messiest situation in gaming at the moment, but that doesn't make it right kind of thing. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe... we'll leave that alone for a bit. But anyway, it's sad news all round, generally.
If you do end up fancying wanting to pick up the game, or you like the look of the game, and you know, and you're not put off by this and you still want to play it, I think there's a fair enough amount of content, because I roll credits on the PC version. I think there's enough there to justify the price. And as well, I don't know if it still is, but it was on Game Pass on the Xbox, yeah, and the PC version, so they're available that way.
Try it for free, and then, yeah.
Well,
the developers are probably already... well, the developers already probably got the money for that, so yeah, possibly not.
We don't know how Game Pass works.
But I would imagine that's the case, maybe.
Yeah. Right, we have PlayStation 5 updates. And for those that are the Xbox elites, and they may be thinking, well, this show, are they just a bunch of PlayStation fanboys on the blue side, and they don't care about the Xbox? No, the reason for this is Xbox, Microsoft are very upfront about what you're getting for your money for the Xbox. They've been sending out early release consoles to influencers that aren't based in Japan, and PlayStation have been very secretive about what you can get with your console. And so, yeah, that's the reason we're getting so much coverage for PlayStation, because we don't know.
Yeah, we just don't know.
So the first thing, backwards compatibility on the PlayStation 5. We're ruling out the possibility of PS3, PS2, PS1 backwards compatibility unless you're purchasing said games from the store and playing it that way, if that gets announced down the line. Not fully poo-pooing the idea going forward. There might be some update down the road, you don't know. But as it stands, release console, PS4 games only.
Yeah.
Initially, the first reports were 100 plus games had been trialed with backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
And we'll see when the console's released. That has now changed, Tim.
Good.
So on the PlayStation blog, they have put out a list of games that won't be playable on the PlayStation 5, because that's how little of an amount of games
that's
will
a
not
good
be
way
usable.
Around for it to be for us, basically.
Yes. So I'll quickly run through these. So as of the 12th of October, you will not be able to play Afro Samurai 2 Revenge of Kuma Volume 1, which I believe was a broken game on release, and they ended up refunding anyone that bought the game.
Yeah.
DWVR, which I'm not sure on that one.
Right, I'll stop you on that one, because that one, the developer has said that they're working on a patch. It's a VR game, and it's one of the two VR games that weren't working at launch. But they are saying they're working on a patch and hope to have it ready for the launch of the PS5. I believe they're quite a small developer as well, so yeah.
Okay, Hitman Go Definitive Edition. So this was the mobile version of Hitman that they made the little kind of board game challenge version thing, and then they stuck it over on the consoles as well. Really good games. It'd be nice to see if that comes over. Joe's Diner. I have played this, and it's crap. So no big...
Don't worry about it.
It was some big Unity port that ended up on all the consoles at the same time, and I have no idea why, but I tried it and went, this is... One of those Slenderman clone type things. Just Deal With It, which...
That's funny that isn't working. Just in title alone. Just deal with it! yelling it.
Do you not remember a while ago when the there was the big thing about Xbox One before it launched, and people were going, well, what if I can't play my games because I don't have Always Online available to me because the internet doesn't work in my area? And they say, well, we've got a solution for that. It's called the Xbox 360. And some spokesperson who no longer works for Microsoft following this, he came back with Just Deal With It. I think he went off and founded the studio that made Adrift. So there you go. Yes. Swings and roundabouts. Yes. But anyway, just deal with it.
Anyway.
Not available. Robinson the Journey, which...
Which I don't understand. That's a Ubisoft game. Like, how... What? Why is that the one VR game that doesn't work?
Was that Ubisoft? I know. That was a Cry game, wasn't it? A Cry Engine. Crytek.
Well, it might be Crytek, and it was Ubisoft published, possibly.
Maybe.
But... Yeah, I swear Ubisoft had a hand in it somewhere. But I believe you're right that Crytek were the developer, yeah.
Yeah. Also, I found that game very slow and boring. So.
Hey. Yeah. I mean, it was okay.
It starts with a T-Rex and you're like, yeah! And
then
it derives into nothing. But hey-ho. I never finished.
This thing into that. No, I never finished it. I saw a Brontosaurus, though. So, you know.
Ooh. Shadow Complex Remastered, which is a shame because a lot of people on PlayStation 3 were like, where's our version of Shadow Complex? And then they eventually finally got it out to the PS4, and then they went, not on PS5.
Anyway, not for your PS5.
Shadwin? I don't know.
No idea.
TT Isle of Man, Ride on the Edge 2?
I mean, if we want it, I mean, you know, we might want to do some TT racing at some point, and
I doubt it.
Maybe the best? I don't know. Couldn't tell you, but no. Fine.
And We Sing, which I think was Ubisoft as well.
Yes, but we don't sing, Coleman.
Which is, that was the rival to SingStar was the idea, which I think SingStar got cancelled recently, so hey-ho, future's bright. But yeah, if you have a regular version of the PlayStation 5, then you'll be able to pop a disc in there from the PS4, and that will, I'm assuming, work in the same way as the Xbox One does and the Xbox Series X will, using emulation rather than just playing off the disc. And that's more of a verification system. If you have a digital version, then you'll only be able to use digital games, obviously. Which is good, because I downscaled, I think I have like 5 physical games left, and everything else has been picked up digitally over the years. So, hey-ho. Then the other big thing, PlayStation VR will, as finally, like properly, mega been confirmed as compatible with PlayStation 5.
Definitely confirmed, which that's I've been saying for a while because they did confirm that a while ago. But okay.
They did inspect sheets and what have you, and there's not been... Since the announcement of the proper official announcement video, they've not said a single thing about VR. So it was nice to actually get the clarification on the blog and stuff. However, if you wish to use PSVR on your PlayStation 5, as Coleman gets his sound effects ready, if you want to use the PlayStation VR on the PlayStation 5, then you can do so, but you have to use a PlayStation 4 camera. So, and the way you can do this, there will be an adapter that you can get from PlayStation. They've not said how you get this, but apparently they won't charge you for the adapter. So I'm assuming...
Why don't you just put the adapter in the frickin' box?
Because I'm assuming they are trying to cut costs by not producing a bunch of these things. Loads of them. Needlessly.
Okay.
Maybe there will be in the box. We don't know. We've not been told.
But at the same time, like, my console's coming out in a month.
Mm-hmm.
If they haven't contacted me yet, which they haven't. Yeah. Like, I think it's going to be a, hey, there's a thing in the box where you can contact us to get
what's
one.
In
and
the
then
box.
Maybe we'll send it in a month or so.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that makes my PSVR kind of useless on day one. Thank you very much. I hope that's not the case, but I'm guessing it will be.
Another thing that is useless is the PlayStation 5 HD camera, which was advertised, because that will not be compatible with this iteration of PlayStation VR. Assuming down the line for whatever VR 2 is, that will be what you can use for it. But otherwise, this camera is used for Twitch streaming.
In it. Boo.
Yeah. So good Boo. Thing you didn't buy a PlayStation 5 HD camera, Tim.
I did.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Tim.
Right. I knew that it was possibly unconfirmed that it would, but it's one of those things that I'm going to have it for the next iteration of PSVR.
So when they become cheaper.
Yeah, and they'll package it in the box. But it means I've got one from day one. It does mean I can do some Twitch streaming stuff with it possibly as well, and actually possibly do that, maybe. And yeah, like, I don't know. Even with this knowledge now, I can't cancel it if I wanted to, because it's packaged in with my bloody console. So, no.
No.
Yeah, I've got it, whether I want it or not. So, hey. This information would have been more useful before purchasing, though, Sony. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it again. All right, and then just before we start recording, PlayStation released a video showing off the... And this is something I've not got. A lot of people have been going, what's the interface for PlayStation 5 going to look like? I just don't care. It's a menu.
As you said, Dan made me miss out on it. Like, we've got a mega menu conversation to have now. It's a news article and everything, like, up front and everything. But yeah, I don't know. The answer to your question seems to be, Coleman, that it's a lot like PS4, but just with rounded corners now, basically.
I mean, yeah, it looks nice. It's not what I prefer. I prefer more of a kind of, here's your games, open up all the games, sort them in the way I want them.
Yeah.
Whereas at the moment, you go across the bar and you go to the libraries, and then you open up from the libraries, and then you can do it. That's too many steps for me.
Well, see, that's why I put everything in folders. I've got like a AAA folder, an indie folder,
yeah,
I
do
VR
that
folder.
Too. I do that too. And one of my, I think my Iron Man game's on a disc. It's the only VR game I have on a disc, and it stays in my PlayStation because it's the only disc game that I play. But now, because of that, and that is in a VR folder, and then every time I boot up the console, it goes inside the VR folder to highlight the one disc game. It's like, damn it, now I've got to go out. So I need to move that outside the VR folder, really. Anyway, yes, we saw the new user interface. It's very sleek looking. There seems to be a lot of emphasis on... Well, there's not going to be a separate app for the store. They're trying to do a lot of less separate apps.
I like that. That sounded good.
That's all in menu. They have been trying to rework...
It's like a shop in a menu, Coleman. Can you imagine the excitement for me?
So now you can play with menus and spend money.
While
those
shopping.
Are like your two favourite things.
Unbelievable.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
But yeah, they've completely rebuilt the entire software stack form for the console to the network, which means that the user interface is meant to run a lot faster than it does at the moment, which is good because I watched a video recently where someone put a nearly £1,000 worth of SSD into a PlayStation 4 Pro, and it didn't really do much difference for the menus. So that is nice that it is meant to run a lot faster. There is a lot of emphasis on... So we got this with the PlayStation 4 as well, and more so as updates went along for the console. But going into this generation, we heard there was a lot more emphasis on kind of social media stuff, not necessarily posting to social media, but being more social within your app. And through that, we got messaging through your phone to the dashboard and all that kind of stuff. We got the sharing functions and what have you. There seems to be a bigger emphasis on that where... you can now contact your friend as they're playing a game and you're playing a different game, and you can view what they're playing while you're playing, kind of picture-in-picture style.
Okay.
There's stuff where... So, like, now if you kind of highlight a game and scroll down, it will show you anyone that's shared clips or streaming at the moment, so you can go, oh, see what's going on here. There's kind of that function, but it's more like problem solving in game. So if you go, oh, yeah, I'm stuck on this bit, instead of pulling up a wiki or a YouTube video or something, you can do it directly in the browser, in the menu. And then you can also picture in picture that and kind of follow what they're doing at the same time. Interesting stuff, not for me, but interesting for some people out there, I'm assuming.
I can see a couple of use case examples where that will be handy, like collecting things at the end of a game when you're trying to find where things are. Like the only time I used one of those recently was in the Star Wars game. What was the one before Squadrons? Can only remember the name of one Star
Jedi
Wars game.
Jedi Fallen Order.
Yes. but yeah,
one of my favorite games this generation.
With that, I really like the game. But I found some, like, finding where to get to some of the things was a bit awkward at times, but actually finding, like, just getting an idea of where you had to go still gave you the challenge of getting there, but with slightly less frustration of, no, that is the right way to go kind of thing. So I could see, like, bringing up that sort of video in that sort of case, like finding, you know, things when you've already... when you're going back through a game and you want to find the stuff that you didn't find the first time and stuff like that. But I also, for that and those sorts of purposes and other things in game, I quite like the idea of me being able to share my screen with someone else as well. Like, because that means you wouldn't have to go into spoiler territory, but you could just say, what am I doing here? Like, I'm doing something wrong. Am I not seeing something? And you could just ask a mate rather than going to the internet and do it.
And the screen sharing stuff exists already, and you can take over your friend's game and stuff. Like, we've had that for PlayStation 4 for a while. It's a bit clunky. It's a bit slow, but it is there. And every now and then I found I had to turn that off pretty sharpishly, because I'd be playing something and someone will go, hey, can I watch you play? Like, it would just pop up and go, this person requests to watch you play. I'm like, no, weirdo, leave me alone. Like, go play your own games. Why do you want to watch me play? I think I let one person do it, which was Nelly on the show. Listen to the show. Messaged me once, and I think I was playing Just Cause, and they went, can I watch you? Because I want to play this game. I want to buy this game, but I want to see if it's any good. So I'm going to watch you play for a bit. I'm like, yeah, right, that makes sense. But
yeah.
It becomes a nuisance. Anyway, stuff like that. Another big thing is you can highlight a game, open up challenges and things like kind of break up in menus within menus, show you highlights of the game's challenges, things you might have missed, and then you can either look at the description, go back in the game, try to figure it out, or just hit the icon in the game and it will go, boom, take you to the point you need to be at and play from there. Kind of, I mean, again, I can see that being helpful for younger players or for people that are trophy hunting, maybe. Can't see myself getting much use out of that. It just seems like features for the sake of features.
I didn't see much from what they showed that I was like, oh, well, that's amazing. That's makes me so glad I'm bought a PS5 for that kind of thing. But I don't know, I get the sense that it's one of those things that until you are actually sitting there and playing along with it, you won't really see the advantages of.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of quality of life, to use one of Dan's favorite phrases, but a lot of quality of life upgrades that are going to make your interactions with the game more pleasurable. And I think that's going to be a key feature of this generation of consoles, basically. I don't think the graphical fidelity will make that much difference to that many people, but I think when you get to see, yeah, but I can jump between these games and I can do this and I can do that, that, yeah, that's one of the things that I think will make a difference.
Yeah, all this kind of tells me is this is what it's going to look like when my dad's over and I boot up to open an app on my console and my dad goes, well, that looks cool. What is that? And it's the menu. It's every time. It was the 360. It was the Xbox One. It was the PlayStation 4 and it will be the PlayStation 5. He goes, well, what's this? What's this? My TV doesn't do this. You know, that's all it'll be. Right. And one last piece of news on the agenda, and you sent me over this one, Tim, so you know what that means.
No.
It's basically news.
Basically news. Okay.
Basically basically news. Anyone watching the video version, there's a nice little treat there. And then I screwed the video up and the cameras just went all over the place. I'm back. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, anyone watching the video version, there you go. You got a nice little treat on the video that Tim will have to check later because it doesn't appear to him.
And join in the joke.
There you go. Tim?
Yes?
Sega's 60th anniversary.
Happy 60th, Sega. I didn't get you a cake.
I think I've given you enough money over the years. Buy your own damn cake. Right, so we got sent a big thing over from Sega telling us about the 60th anniversary, and there's going to be some games released on Steam for free.
Mm-hmm.
And they are quite surprising, because the first one is a Yakuza Streets of Rage mashup called Streets of Kamurocho? Kamurocho?
Yep.
Yes. And you will play the protagonists of Kazuma Kiryu and Goro Majima, which I'm assuming are easier names to pronounce if you have played the game and had that context, but I have not. Anyway, if you go on Steam on the 17th of October up until the 19th of October, you'll be able to pick that up for free. Looks all right. I've forgotten the name of the company that's working on that one, but they made 2D D-lists of previous games as well, which looked also good. But their bread and butter seems to be 2D pixel platformers. So, sorry, brawlers, not platformers. So, yeah, this looks well in that. The one I'm excited about is Golden Axed, which it's a cancelled prototype of a Golden Axe game. This is from Sega Studios Australia, which closed 7 years ago now. And this was originally meant to be part of a compilation of 2.5D reboots. So they were going to have Golden Axe, Altered Beast, and Streets of Rage all in one. I think Streets of Rage has popped up before. I don't know if that was a different company or if that was through Sega themselves. But I'm pretty sure I've seen a Streets of Rage 2.5D in the same style as this Golden Axe one. Yeah. Okay. Probably back on the other show. And then there was also meant to be an endless runner of Shinobi, which I like Shinobi. I don't like endless runners. So there you go. So this is a prototype for something that should have existed but didn't. October the 18th up until the 19th, so you only get one day to pick that one up. And lastly, the other one is...
Just one point on that, because slightly uncorroborated, I will say, but I did see some chatter that some of the devs that worked on that version of Golden Axe didn't, and I can understand them not being made aware that it was going to be released, but apparently it was possibly developed under some shenanigans and then obviously axed, so probably the people there lost their jobs and maybe disgruntled ex-employees or whatever. But
I can imagine.
Yeah. As I said, don't exactly know what's going on there, but there may be some undercurrent of people being slightly unhappy about their work surfacing years later without them seeing any profit from it.
Unfortunately, like with every creative studio that you work for, every creative company you work for, I'm sure they signed something that said anything you create while you work for us is ours, basically.
Yes.
So they will fall under this. I can understand the outrage, but at the same time, it's Sega's property. They can do with what they want. Also, the last one will be Armor of Heroes, which is a retro tank battler, which looks very similar to the Company of Heroes RTS franchise. That's going to be available from the 15th to the 19th as well. So check out Steam, have a look for these games. They're all free.
Yeah.
You can't argue with that, unless you made a Golden Axe prototype.
And have you seen that Steam are doing this thing where you can get loads of Sega artwork, like a Sega Genesis box, but for a game that wasn't necessarily on the Sega Genesis and stuff, Sega-style artwork for a variety of different games. Yeah, I thought that was quite cool. I don't use Steam often enough to care that much, but yeah, it's a nice idea.
What I'm hoping is the Hopening. Coming soon to a theatre, never. what I'm hoping is we get some discounts on some of the Sega games on Steam to celebrate as well, because I've been keeping my eye out for a cheap copy of Sonic Generations on Steam, because there are a lot of, well, and the modding scene for Sonic is pretty strong. And so Generations.
The PC version particularly, okay.
Yeah, well, the version of Generations, they recreate levels in Sonic games that weren't particularly good, but had good levels, and then do them in the Sonic Generations engine.
Right.
And I'm well up for that. So there you go. If you ever wanted to play Sonic 06 or Sonic Unleashed, then go pick up Sonic Generations and mod it. Good. That is all the news we have for this week. Although I will quickly say, because I was talking about the pre-order duress of trying to get a PlayStation 5 through Currys, they have since sent me another email saying they will never be stocking the version of the PlayStation.
I don't know if that's better or worse.
They sent it again, the same email four times now. But then the other thing is very big in the news today.
Was that the end of the opening for you?
No, the opening. The opening, starring Keanu Reeves. So, anyway, I'm sure they'll send me the same email again at some point.
Sounds more like a Nicolas Cage film to me, but anyway.
The opening. No, that's Mark Wahlberg. That's got Wahlberg as written all over it. You mean to tell me there's a opening?
Happening?
People that pre-ordered through Currys for their Xbox Series X's and Xbox Series S? Is that what it was called?
Let's go. Regular?
Right. Yep. They got quite the surprise this morning when their pre-orders had suddenly hiked up by $2,000.
Whoa!
And I'm not sure why, but they got, rather than a price adjustment, they then got sent digital coupons to take it back down to the regular price. So I'm assuming there's been some kind of shenanigans with the pre-order where the people that have pre-ordered the game, when they're available, apparently, maybe people can still...
You said game, did you mean console?
Sorry, the console. Yeah, maybe people can still buy it for other means because they've not sorted out their website yet. I don't know. But there's something going on where people are getting $2,000 consoles pulled up on the site. $2,000 plus, I should say. They've gone up by $2,000. That is very odd, but we'll keep an eye on that situation. Currys, what are you doing? First, Argos are taking money out of my girlfriend's account, and Curry's trying to charge people $2,000. This has been the weirdest pre-order of any console release ever. And I once went to a game shop where they took my money and gave me a gold envelope with a Triforce on it, and then I had to come back. I had to wait till they text me so I can come back to the store and pick up my Wii. And this is a weirder pre-order, you know.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. I didn't mention it before when we were mentioning PlayStation, but just very quickly, I heard a bit of details about NBA 2K 2021, I'm guessing it is.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I've got the year. I'm sure it's 2021.
It's usually right. They go for the year after.
They were talking about some of the way that the DualSense button works in that game.
Oh, yeah. It's meant if you're fatigued, then the controller's meant to react.
Yeah, like as in it will be harder to pull the trigger, like to do a shot or something if you're tired and stuff. And right, I really like that idea, and I can see that working well in gameplay. The one problem I have, how's that gonna work for game balancing and general game difficulty when you're making the game multi-platform and that feature isn't necessarily available everywhere?
I'm assuming it's a mode you can turn off, or I'm hoping all this adaptive trigger stuff can be turned off in options, because...
Yeah, it's just one of those things I'm worried about, because otherwise it could literally be, like, making the game harder for players on PS5. Like,
well, not... Yeah,
that's
not
the just... only thing. That's the only thing I'm like, huh?
Yeah,
I'm sure they must have thought about that and possibly balanced it if you're using it, but...
Not even just multiplayer, but people that play games competitively and stuff, you need the edge in any way, and there's a lot of people that won't play with wireless controllers over a wired controller because of that split, micro millisecond of lag, you know. So I can't imagine that would go down too well if it wasn't switch-offable. And the switch-offable, good word. And the other thing as well is it's a new technology that we're using. If we're starting locking up triggers and buttons and things that are set in a game, and it's the first time we're doing it, You don't buy the first flying car. You wait it out. You wait till it's perfected, and then you go out and you get it. So I don't want to use these in the first game. WWE tried this for the PlayStation 4, their first WWE game on the PlayStation 4, and they went, right, we're going to use a new engine, new control scheme. It's going to be brilliant. Everyone's going to have it. Everyone hated it. I hated it. And then the next year they went, all right, we put back the old system. So there you go.
Yeah. And just while we're on PS4, and as we mentioned a couple of games earlier, there was the Sackboy thing. And then they showed Destruction All-Stars, the menu of... And I was really hoping they'd show gameplay of that, because I
you were just happy they showed you a menu.
Oh, well, yeah, obviously. But no, I just wanted to see a bit more gameplay of that. I don't know if that's Seek Alkable elsewhere, so I might go do Seek some Alkable. Work and see if that is the case for next week. But yeah, I haven't seen much on that. And that's a game, if Gran Turismo, especially Gran Turismo 7, isn't out at launch, which it's increasingly looking like that won't be the case, and I never really trusted it to be the case, then Destruction All-Stars might be more on my radar for sort of picking up at launch, basically. Yeah. But
oh, and your PlayStation's recording all your conversations now. Anyway, moving on.
Well, yeah.
Moving on, that's all the news we got time for this week, but we have games that we done played, or I have games I done played, because Tim?
Yes.
It's 2020.
This is weird this week, Coleman. It's upside down week.
It means it's exactly the 10-year anniversary of I have to try a football game ago. I got into FIFA 2000, I got into FIFA 2010, 2000 and whatever. Anyway, every 10 years I try...
2000 or something.
Every 10 years, I tried to actually really give FIFA a go. And because I explained a couple of weeks ago, we were playing Star Wars Squadrons.
Mm-hmm. Squadrons.
And, yeah, I went for instead of buying the game outright because I wasn't sure about it, I mm-hmm. opted for the $3.99 PlayStation Play subscription for a month. And because of that, I got 10 hours worth of FIFA 21.
21.
And I thought, what the hell? Let's play some FIFA 21. And I'll tell you what, Tim.
Yep. No.
Out of all the FIFA games,
yeah,
this is definitely a FIFA game.
That is the sort of stunning insight that we get you for, Colin.
Yeah.
Man on the street's opinion that we just can't do without.
No, I'm sticking the gameplay footage up on the video now, so
good.
You can see what I've been doing. And
did you pick Portsmouth? Is my first question.
Portsmouth are not in the game because they're not in in the right bracket. No. How does football work?
Yeah, I'm not sure what their deal with lower league teams is at the moment, but yeah.
So I went in and it immediately. I always get this with the FIFA games. They look amazing. Every time I see one, I'm absolutely blown away by the way they look and, you know, the way the atmosphere, except for the crowds. Crowds look like crap every time.
Yes. But
players, celebrations, animations, the pitch, everything. It looks really, really good. And when you start it off, it set up some random match that I don't know. I think it was like an FA Cup final that I don't watch football, so I don't know. And I got absolutely trounced playing the game, and then I went back in and went, right, I'm gonna pick my team. And I thought, well, I can't pick my my Blue Army of Portsmouth, so I went for my dad's team. I picked the mighty Leeds.
Okay, nice. That's hard at the moment, though. They're, you know, just coming up into the Premier Division. It's a tough time to pick them.
Leeds and Wolverhampton. That's what I did. And I tell you what, Tim, trounced them 7-0. Loved it.
Nice.
And then the game went, do you want to put the difficulty up a bit? probably should.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, that was a regular match. Assume if you're listening to this, you're not looking to be sold on a FIFA game and you're aware of FIFA games. So, you know, I won't go into the minutiae, you know, how to pass, how to shoot and all that kind of stuff. But this is stuff I genuinely don't know. So after playing a couple of matches, I then went into the training and found it very useful. I also pulled up a thing on, so the way I have my setup is I have my PlayStation on one screen and PC on the other, and then I can dual screen and if I'm not playing the PlayStation. So on one screen, I'll have the PlayStation up on the other. I had the controls for the game because they don't give you leaflets anymore to tell you how to play the game. So I had the controls up and I'm learning how to do the controls at the same time. It's doing dribbling techniques and how to shoot and pressure sensitivity and all that kind of stuff. And I went through that and I found it a lot better.
That has got a lot better at teaching you the different little pieces of the game. And yeah, in recent years, they've always stuck that as a kind of, you can play one of those mini game type things while you're waiting for the game to load and stuff as
they
well.
They did that this time.
Yeah, and that's been a good feature, I think. Like, I end up playing those mini games a lot of the time and then actually sticking with them and finishing them because I've got a decent score and want to sort of bank it, even though the game's loaded sort of idea. But yeah, like, I don't know. I think that they're well done, that the whole training area now, basically.
Yeah, it's really good. It was very, very helpful. And then after that, after playing a lot of that and then going back and doing the matches and finding it a lot easier getting into it. And I've always been told this. Ages ago when I tried getting into football games, I was always told, don't play FIFA, play PES, Pro Evo Soccer.
Yeah.
Because FIFA, essentially, it plays the game for you. You find yourself, like, I've always been told stuff like this. FIFA's too easy. FIFA plays the game for you. You just hit, you're like the kid with the second controller that's not plugged in, thinking he's playing, you know, that kind of stuff. Who the hell thinks that? Because this game's hard.
In more recent years, I think both of them have kind of adopted this system where, for a few years, you could just hold down the approach a player to kind of tackle button, and that made it a bit too easy. It kind of zoomed it in. But yeah, they've kind of tightened that up. And I haven't played so much of 21, but in recent years, they've generally tightened that up to, you have to be timing your actual tackle and you have to be paying attention a bit more defensively, and you can't just wing it and coast it or just hold the button down sort of idea. So yeah.
Right, okay. Well, I tell you, the other thing, something I really don't like about this game is the commentary.
football commentary has always been terrible, though.
Well, not because it's bad. I don't know who the commentators are. There's a Scottish guy and an English guy.
Probably Martin Tinsley and whoever else it is.
Jeff.
I can't remember.
Jeff, commentator. But I don't mind them.
They're, think it's a gooner, but anyway.
And considering, like, in WWE games, the commentary is one of the worst things. And like, literally, there was a DLC pack you once downloaded and got the Papa Shango, an old school voodoo wrestler character. And every time Jerry the King Lawler, who was on commentary, is talking about him, like, they put alternative takes in. He messed up a line and then re-recorded it, and they kept it in the commentary and released it in the game. You know, I've seen stuff like that. This, nothing like that. What I find annoying is certain lines that get reused, and one of them was, he goes, he had a good shot there, and he squandered it. And I went, squandered it? I'm 7-0 up, you git. He squandered it. If anything, I'm having a nice leisurely game at this point. Just trying to run out the clock to get to the end. But yeah, after all that, I went for the big thing that is the big addition this year. And we spoke about this last year at the announcement. They kind of brought back FIFA Street, but not as a title, as a mode.
Yeah.
But all they really did was kind of change the backgrounds and the clothes, and then you were playing FIFA with street locations. I don't know if it had the same name as last time, but Volta is the game mode this time.
Yeah.
And it allows you to play 3-on-3, 4-on-4, or 5-on-5 games. And it is a lot more arcadey than playing regular FIFA.
Okay.
And I really like this. And I'm going to propose for the next time, you know, once the madness is over and we can start doing drinky game nights again, I think we should get 4 players on Volta, because it's very fun. And it's shorter matches.
Yeah.
Arcadey style. And you can also, you can change the pitch sizes. So you can have small, medium, and large pitches. And you can have barriers up as well. And it took me a while to get, a while to get used to this. One of the courts is Shepherd's Bush. I lived in Shepherd's Bush. This is no Shepherd's Bush I've seen before. They've really focused on, this is grey and dingy and people's houses are right next to the football pitch and all that kind of stuff. But it's surrounded by the kind of the council funded green gates that we get up around pitches and the basketball pitches and courts and stuff in the UK. And it's got one of those. And what that means is you never kick a ball out. Instead, you kick it against the fence and it comes back at you. And you can use that to your advantage. I will have moments where I'm running down the wing and then someone will run at me and I'll kick the ball kind of diagonally away from them, hit it off the off the fence, and then that will go to another player who's right in front of the goal, and then kick it straight in. And as well, there's no goalkeepers because it's only small little three games, 4-4 games, what have you. And yeah, I found it a lot more fun.
That makes me more interested football. In it as well. But yeah.
And also, this is the mode that has your kind of story mode, your capture and voice acting and stuff.
Oh, so they put the story mode in that mode rather than the main mode this year.
Yeah, because what they did the road, something like that. And they did 2 years of this fictional character that I've completely forgotten the name of, but we were joking about him at the time when they announced fictional character and brought out the actor that got captured and stuff at E3. And then last year, I think they passed the story over, so it starts with him and then goes to a female player, and that was it, because it was about the Premier League and the World Cup, and then they got UEFA, so they put the champions in the storyline for the next one. Right, this one, the story is all about Volta and playing street football and stuff, and you're traveling around the world to different pitches into this tournament trying to get to Saudi Arabia to win a big money prize. Okay. And yeah, acting's not great, but it's fun. And it's a very arcadey take on FIFA.
Yeah, I'd imagine that's a bit easier for them to have to run past people as well, and kind of on a legal standpoint and stuff, and kind of getting that signed off from people and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, because your team you have a character that you can customize and stuff, and pick your race and your name and your skills and your animations and things, but then all the other characters, they're set people with set nationalities and names and stuff, but you can change like their clothes and hair and what have you, but they're all generic characters. And then that way you've only really got like a handful of actual players that you need to get signed off on and get voice talents and stuff, because I don't know if you've heard a football player post-game interview, Tim, but they're not the most eloquent usually. There's a lot of ahs and ums.
I mean, yeah. Like, after you've just run around for, best part of 2 hours.
I'm not knocking them.
Sprinting. Like, it doesn't always lend itself well to communicating effectively, even if you were quite intelligent. So I think, they get a hard rap sometimes on that front. You know what I mean?
It's a similar thing with wrestling. Like, post-match, you're going to breathing heavy and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, but at the same time, they are athletes and not actors. So then using them as a voice actor.
I get the point anyway. But yes.
Anyway, if you are a lapsed FIFA player and you're looking to get back to it, I think that there are enough improvements for you to take a punt on this this year's version of the game. If you are vaguely interested in football but you're not really into the simmy nature of FIFA, then the Volta mode is enough to keep you going. But then again, you get a 10-hour trial included with your EA Play, Volt, whatever you want to call it.
That mode and that being in there does make me remember ISS Pro on the SNES as well, because that was, I think, the first football game that I'd ever seen that had an indoor mode as an alternate mode where you could play it off the walls and do that sort of stuff as well, basically.
I put a few hours into mostly the Volta mode, because if you put 1 hour into the game, then you get a match. But if you put an hour into Volta, you get like 5 matches. So I'm more so into that. But I'm going to stick with this. And if my trial runs out, then maybe not for full price, but FIFA tends to appreciate in value pretty quickly. I may be picking up a second-hand copy and trying to carry on with this. Something happened, Tim, that I haven't told you about this yet, but I received an email.
Yes. That's a fairly normal thing so far, Coleman.
From our favourite video games company, Konami.
Oh, no, you didn't tell me about this at all.
I got offered a review copy of
they're making games?
Of Pro Evolution Soccer. So, do I carry on with this football hype train and try play PES?
Why have you been offered a copy of Pro Evolution Soccer?
I'm the face of the videos, man.
And the person that talks about that game. Anyway, right, yeah, okay, fine. I won't be offended.
It's a PC copy as well. But I've been offered a copy of PES, and I'm thinking, should I now go from FIFA to PES after this lovely arcadey nature of the Volta mode?
I actually think in some ways your review of the game is more useful to most people than mine would be. Like, okay, I didn't play much of last year's FIFA. I did end up playing a bit of Pro Evo because it came to Game Pass at some point.
Right.
But yeah, like in some ways, your opinion of it is more valuable than mine, because most people know I like football. I'm probably going to like FIFA type of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think, yeah.
I don't know. The harshest critics of FIFA are the people that buy it every year, surely.
Well, yeah, possibly.
Same as WWE games. It's a lot of similarities, you know? it's a recommend from me. And that's a guy who doesn't like
football.
Follow football and is not a big fan of FIFA games. But yeah, the Volta mode sold me. Really did.
Yeah, it sounds cool actually.
If they chopped out the Volta mode and sold that for 35 quid, I give the price of Squadrons, 35.99 or whatever it is, I'd pick that up. I think it's that good. I really do.
Yeah, it's a shame they don't separate that out. But yeah, I guess they need to keep on adding things to the FIFA package to make it an enticing thing to buy every year. Basically.
Yeah.
But I will say,
I did not touch FIFA Ultimate Team because
I was going to say.
Scummy, yeah. Predatory, and you should age gate these games if you're selling them to children with gambling mechanics included. Yeah. So there's my 2 cents on that one. Tim, have you played anything?
Very briefly say I played a little bit more Squadrons. The one thing to update from my previous play is they fixed the tutorial on fleet battles, which I was having problems with finishing because I couldn't kill the Star Destroyer. It would get down to one health and then stay at one health forever. But that's been fixed now. So I got through that, and then I played my kind of... it then advises you to play a solo game against the AI, and I played that, won that, and then I haven't had a chance to play since, basically. But okay. I'd like to squad up with some people and play some, even if it's just playing against AI and stuff, and then if we get good, maybe go play some other players.
Will you be playing multiplayer in VR, and would that put you at a disadvantage, do you think?
I would be playing in VR, and I think that puts me in an advantage. But
really?
Yeah.
All right.
I think people might be getting a bit more clarity on distant objects and stuff like that, but I don't actually think that helps that much when the UI does a lot of that for you anyway type thing. And the advantage I get is basically they have that free look button that they can use. Well, I can use that all the time just by moving my head. So, especially in the cockpits that give you more of a view than you can see in front of you, I can, look up and look down and get more of it and look to the side a bit more and see more around me a bit. So
there's no head tracking aiming in that game, is there?
No. And as I said, I can understand why they didn't do that when they wanted to, not give a massive advantage to someone that was, or not give a weapon advantage that was to someone in VR that wasn't. So,
I think I read about that in my, what was it, Riggs preview years and years ago after using the head aiming. I felt that I would have a distinct advantage over anyone, not even just using a controller, but using a mouse, because it just felt that responsive in that game. So I can imagine it being a big problem if you're doing multiplayer. But then again, they're letting people use joysticks and cross-play from PC with mouse and keyboard and stuff. So
again, most of the people I heard talking about it were people that didn't use the HOTAS stuff very much, so hadn't used the joystick terribly much, so may have just been the fish out of water thing, but they were saying that was actually making the game harder for them in some cases. So
right,
but I don't know, it could be one of the things where you get used to that and it does give you some advantage. I did think about picking one up, but they're still pretty expensive, and to be picking one up right at the end of the console life cycle. But that's why I was extra disappointed to hear that Squadrons isn't going to be supported on the next generation of consoles, because I'd really like to play this on PS5.
Well, it'll be backwards compatible, and you don't know if there'll be any improvements. They just announced.
Yeah,
they just announced that the Ghost of Tsushima isn't getting an Xbox PlayStation 5 version, but it will be backwards compatible. But by playing the backwards compatible mode, you can play it in 60 frames a second. So there might be some kind of improvement through playing it through the PlayStation
and,
5.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that's the case, possibly. But yeah. But
and that, there should be more looking into ways of improving through backwards compatibility rather than making a brand new, you know, port of the game.
I'm more for that because that means they won't sell it to us again, hopefully.
Yeah, it means you have it.
But they're being a bit coy. Like, but it's one of those things. Would you rather they put a lot of work into upgrading a game and charged you a little bit for it? Or would you prefer that they just did whatever they can cheap and easily? Like, I'm not sure which one of those I'd actually prefer. I'd like both of those options to be available where possible.
Do you know what? I think it depends on how long into the life cycle the game has been created, because in a lot of cases, when I want to play a game through backwards compatibility, it's usually a, well, I missed this, I'm going to have a quick go on it. I don't necessarily need it to then go, oh, look at these 4K visuals and 120 frames a second. I don't need that because it didn't play like that when I played it before. It's only really towards the end of the life cycle. Like Ghost of Tsushima, I've not finished, and they'll probably go, you know, that they've now gone, well, when you want to finish that, it'll be on the PS5 and you'll have an improved frame rate for doing so. And I'm fine with that. So I don't know. I really don't know. But I'm not big on buying the same game over generations, even though I already buy multiple games on different platforms.
Also,
so
I have a question for you, Mr. Coleman. Some of the news that we talked about earlier this week in terms of backwards compatibility and the VR games in particular being backwards compatible, like, I thought I might have to keep my present PS4 Pro just so that I could play some of those VR games, and that doesn't look like that's going to be the case at whatever point I get my adapter, but okay. But yeah, like, I can't see a good reason for keeping my PS4 Pro at the moment.
Robinson the Journey.
Right. I can't see a good reason for keeping my PS4 Pro at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, mine will
emphasis on the good.
Mine will literally be I've got Iron Man on the disc. I'll be buying discless versions of the PlayStation 5. I'll probably keep my PlayStation 4 around until I've finished Iron Man.
See,
unless
that's
I finish it before it comes
that's
out.
That's why you should have just bought discless Iron Man. But hey,
well, it was a birthday present, so.
Ah, okay.
Or a but Christmas present.
Might come to PS Plus at some point.
Yeah, it might do. And, you know, same with No Man's Sky. I couldn't find the disc for No Man's Sky, and rather than look through boxes trying to find the disc, they put it on like £5 on a digital discount thing. I went, do you know what? I'll just buy it and then chuck the disc away. But then they, they ended up updating No Man's Sky for VR. I've got a friend who's got VR, didn't have No Man's Sky, so I just turned up. Yeah, you go, have the disc.
There you go.
Nice.
There you go. Yay.
But yeah, there's a couple of games, like Titanfall 2, that was like £3 on a sale. And I went, well, I might as well buy that and get rid of the disc, you know, and just downscale my my collection. Be mad not to.
Yeah.
There you go. Right. Speaking of questions, we should roll through a few because we have got some community feedback. If you want to talk to us and get your stuff considered and read out on the show, you can do so on the comments section of BigRedBarrel.com, on Discord, which there is a link on BigRedBarrel.com, Facebook, and Twitter at Big Red Barrel, and YouTube, Big Red Barrel TV. Good. Hello, if you're looking on the YouTube thing. I've found as well, when we put our videos out on YouTube, they may not, and this sounds like old hat because so many people complained about this for years, we may not be appearing in your feed, even if you do subscribe to us. There is a bell icon. You have to hit the bell icon, and then it will notify. Great. Thanks, YouTube.
Yeah.
If you are watching and you have discovered, then thank you. That's been great. On Discord, Spiky Chris, he actually gave us two. I'm going to skip the first one. It's just about Crucible being cancelled. but he then sent a second question. I found that infinitely better. He says, I have a question. What is the most bizarre reason that you have had through Twitter or whatever channel for someone rage quitting listening to the podcast? Ooh. I ask because I watch a few streamers on Twitch and some reasons why people rage quit the stream are hilarious. We had one guy who had been a sub for years, asked to be a named character in Darkest Dungeon. His character died, and he never came back to the stream after raging about it. Now.
Okay, that's a funny one.
We had a particular listener who reviewed the podcast, and was very annoyed that Dan had buggered off and wasn't happy about it.
Was that in his Destiny days?
That was in...
In the dark days of Destiny.
That was, I need nearly a year off to go do a second doctorate, which was understandable, but really he was playing Destiny. But yeah, this guy was so annoyed that Dan wasn't about. And rather than go, well, I'm just not listening, and then rage quitting the show, what he then did was follow me on Twitter and would complain about three things every week. Every day, in fact, in some
every
cases.
Every day? Okay.
He would complain about Donald Trump, the PlayStation, and me.
I mean, one of those is your fault, Coleman. But I don't think you or Trump are the two of them. The PlayStation is definitely your fault.
And I had a bit of fun with this guy for a while, but he got boring in the end, and I ended up, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to block you and have fun with it. But there was a good like half a year that I was going back and forth with this guy, and he would go, I'm hyped about this new WWE game. There's never been a good WWE game. So instead of just going, shut up, or just ignoring him, I decided, you know what, I'm going to review every WWE game in existence in this reply and chain it so he keeps getting notified and, you know, stuff like that. We've had some brilliant reviews of people that I've assumed have rage quit the podcast, where ranging from like my first episode where I came on, someone reviewed.
Were you not
and said,
Scottish enough?
No, someone said that he didn't like that Dan brought his mate on to take the mick out of Tim. And I'm like, no, Tim brought me on. I'd never met Dan at this point. There was one that said that if you said basically one more time, they were going to headbutt a knife, which I thought was a bit extreme, but funny. We've had so many things like this. But then again, we've had the best review of all time, which were, I think was in France, that said, I love Tim drugs. There you go.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever had any of these, Tim.
No, I mean, look, most of the reviews come through you, and I think you tend to keep a better eye on them and then remember them possibly a bit more. But yeah, like I don't know, like as you said, yeah, we've had a few, like the complaints we've had of well that's crazy or that's not valid generally, but most of the valid complaints people have had about the show are basically about me. And I say valid complaints. Like I despite years of doing this, I do not claim to be a good podcaster. I'm a nice guy, apparently reasonably funny enough for people to stick around. I don't think I'm good at this still or ever. But you know, hey, not even doing sentences very well there. So you know.
I just found the guy's review that I was talking about. You know, he called you an SJW whiny mangina.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, there was that one. Yeah. But there was something really, really funny about what he put in that sentence, though, no? There was...
Right, here you go, I found it. This was a different guy, sorry, not the one I was thinking of.
Right, okay.
The other one, it wasn't that Dan disappeared. He was annoyed that Dan was only ever talked about Destiny. So
right.
That's pretty decent. I thought this one, this was a great fun podcast, but it's been co-opted by a whiny mangina complaining about bad person enablers. Everything is offensive. Hopefully the leader will come back to restore. Sounds like King Jonan.
The leader
must come back and restore sanity. But in the meantime, it's a soapbox for this morally superior SJW.
Yeah, that was it. Morally superior. And that is a put down. Morally superior. What?
I found that funny. Do you know what?
Like, there was multiple compliments in his put downs. SJW is not the put down people think it is. And morally superior.
The majority of bad reviews we've got, I will say, are before I joined the show. Which one of my all-time favorite, because I've got a big thing that shows all the reviews we've ever had from all around the countries and different platforms and stuff. One of my favorite ones that I've ever read, it's something along the lines of, run John Brady, you're too good for them.
These
are good.
Probably true, so you know.
I've had so much entertainment from people's crappy reviews to this show. But yeah, I assume people that have given us bad reviews have rage quit, and those are some of the funny ones. Thank you, Spiky Chris, for that question. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Rago today, he said, if you could delete any game from history, what would it be and why? Quiet Man.
Why?
I don't know if you heard me review Quiet Man on this show, but I was not a fan.
Okay. Don't remember.
It's just a very bad game, and I don't think it should exist.
Oh, I'm trying to remember of what I believe to be one of the worst games of all time. It was a game on the Xbox 360. It had a really long title. I can't remember any of it.
Ed the Duck on the Amiga 500.
Kind of glad it's out of my mind.
That's good then. You've already deleted it out of your history then.
Yeah, exactly. It's, yeah. It's deleted out of my head. I don't want to put it in anyone else's. Oh, Turning Point Fall of Liberty.
I remember this.
It was literally the butt of my jokes and a few of my sarcastic gamer comics back in the day, because at the time when I was writing them, it was generally considered the worst game ever to come out on that console or whatever. But, or like, at least it was a game that people had some expectations from, and it let all of those expectations down, kind of thing. You know, one of those.
I've got one of those. Yeah. Quiet Man, maybe in recent memory, but Ninja Gaiden Zed Yaiba, or whatever it was called.
I was going to go with the remake of Alone in the Dark as well, because that was horrible.
Yeah, but that had blinking motion.
And fire effects. They were really...
I remember the fire effects.
Oh, it propagates. Oh!
But yeah, the last Ninja Gaiden, I think it was the last Ninja Gaiden game, was a spin-off, and it annoyed a lot of people, myself included. I reviewed that for the site, I believe. But mm-hmm. they basically tried to turn it into a cel-shaded comedy game about panties and stuff. It wasn't funny. It wasn't good. And just took away from Ninja Gaiden. And then they made 3. Or they made 3 before. Either way, those are two bad Ninja Gaiden
also,
games.
Also, another answer, possibly E.T. I know everyone cites it as a terrible game, but it'd be interesting to delete that from video game history and see how that affected how video games actually developed.
E.T.'s become kind of just a punchline to any kind of bad game conversation now.
But that's why for me it'd be interesting to take that out of the equation and see if it made a difference to the collapse of video games, because I think it would have contributed, but maybe not as much as everyone says it did. Basically.
The problem with E.T., and this is someone who has played the E.T. game for emulators, but I have played it back in the day, and E.T. is a decent game, but it was made to be, you had to have the instructions and read through it to identify what you're doing in the game as you're playing, as a lot of games were at the time, because there's only so much you can do.
Developers of that game have come out and said, I'm really sorry, I didn't have much time. There was an idea or two there.
Excuse me.
We didn't really get time to do it.
Excuse me. Developer. Yeah.
Developer.
Singular. Also creator of Yar's Revenge. And he's done
it in like 4 months or something.
Yeah, he's done many interviews where he said, okay, I had to rush this game. I worked ridiculous crunch time. Yeah. And also I presented this to Steven Spielberg, who okayed the game. He was like, yes, this is a good game. Put it out. Slap my name on it. Slap my character on it. Yeah. I'm fine. And they did it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's not the worst game.
No. But as I said, that's why it'd be interesting to delete from video game history and see what effect that had. I reckon not as much as people say, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. Ed, joke sound. He said, with Spider-Man Miles Morales getting a spider cat, it helps you in battle. I don't know if you saw this, Tim.
I did see this, and this is excellent.
They've shown some costumes up, which I wish they didn't. I would have liked to have found these things for myself in the game.
Yeah, that's one thing is a bit of a spoiler. But
One of the costumes is you have a backpack with a cat with a little Spider-Man mask on, and in certain combos you'll come out and whack the enemy and stuff. It looks cute.
Awesome.
What other games would be mildly improved and made remarkably weirder with the assistance of a random pet?
Ghost of Tsushima, I want a pet fox that helps me in battle in foxy-like ways.
Okay. I would like the Michael Jackson Experience, either the dancing or the singing version, I don't care.
With bubbles.
Bubbles just pops out from behind Michael and then runs at the screen and tries to bite your face off. I'd like that.
Yeah.
Good.
Good.
Over on Twitter, at Big Red Barrel, Sekend, who used to be Sekender, now has shortened his name, he says, I want to know everyone's current status on Google Stadia for the lols.
See, we can't get Dan's update on how much Google Stadia is worth. Also wanting to get an update on how much Anthem is worth, and also possibly hand the torch from Anthem to Marvel, so we can get an update from you on how much Marvel's worth.
Full price of admission. I love that game. I play it every night.
We'll do that next week then, Colton.
That's my destiny. Anyway, yeah.
I think it's your Anthem, but anyway.
Stadia still exists. Other services seem to be eating its lunch.
Yeah.
I'm with the whole thing about Chromecast not supporting it out of the box. I do wonder if we're going to see it on that list of Google services that got axed, and will Google provide refunds to the people that bought games on that?
Yeah. Well, I can definitely say it was an exciting piece of tech that we liked the look of, but I was glad myself and then eventually Dan bailed on possibly purchasing them, though.
Well, Dan ended up with one.
Yeah, but he didn't.
BT gave him one because
BT upgrade thing. But yeah, oddly enough, like a friend of mine who you know as well, like he bought one at the same time, but he still hasn't been able to get his working.
Oh,
and because it wouldn't connect between the two, like the I think it was having a problem the controller connecting to the Chromecast thing.
Weird.
But then he tried that at my house as well, and that still didn't work. So, yeah,
that's weird. Odd. I would have complained to Google by now.
I don't think he can be bothered, to be honest.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And as a man with infinitely more money than myself.
Yeah.
Right, we've got no podcast reviews, but if you'd like to review this podcast, we'd be ever so appreciative. You can do so on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Podchaser, and Stitcher. It does help out the show, and also we, you know, if you give us a review that we find particularly funny, that'll apparently get logged in my brain, and then 5 years later I'll talk about it on this here show, like we just did earlier with some really nasty reviews. But don't give us nasty reviews unless you're giving us a 5-star and then giving us a nasty review.
I mean, you can.
I mean, I still like the idea that someone goes, always 5-star, 2-star. You know, something random like that, but don't do that.
No, don't do that. Do the reverse of that.
That is about everything. So we've got to go and call it a show for another week and then come back next week and do it all over again. Tim.
Oh, no.
PlayStation 5 is out in a month.
Yeah. We need to start talking. Can we get some feedback on TVs? There was a TV I was looking at. I really want to know what TVs people are picking up for next gen. Let's make that question of the week for next week.
I was going to do some stuff, but I ran out of time because Avengers is a big game. I was going to say, I don't know if you've looked at, there's a channel called Wolf Den on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the video, I'll send you a link. I'll put the link in the show notes and stuff. But there is a video called Your TV is Not Ready for the Next Generation. And it kind of basically says, hey, look at all these all these things that they're touting on consoles. Most TVs can't use them.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm also, very worried that every time I look up TVs as well, they're already selling 8K TVs. And I don't know about you, I'm quite wary that partway through the generation, the console upgrade that we get in 3 to 4 years time is going to be 8K video, at least, even if it's not 8K gaming. No,
yeah, I tell you, I mean, look, I have a relatively new 4K TV. It's LED. It does the job. It looks very nice.
Yeah.
It does upscaling on channels and stuff, so animation looks really nice on it and stuff. Me and the missus went to a Curry's to pick something up, and they have their displays of TVs. And whenever I'm in an electronics store, and it's very rare I'm in one, but I go, let's go have a look at the TVs. Let's see Let's see what is the biggest TV they have. What is that? And I saw this ridiculously huge OLED 8K ready TV thing. And I just looked at that and I like to think I've got a nice TV, and I saw that thing and how much it costs and that I'm probably never going to own one. And I had I was Native American looking at litter on the side of the road, just single tear let out. I'm fine. Let's go. But yeah, big TVs. They always impress me.
Yeah. And I'm definitely looking OLED. That was kind of where I was looking possibly, but, But yeah, I found one that I think I'm going for, maybe. But yeah, I don't want to influence what people are saying too much and see what they come back with. But yeah, budget, I'd like it to be under £1,000 or thereabouts. I wouldn't want to go any more than that. So that does limit my options somewhat, basically. But yeah, like, I don't know. It's something where I definitely want to buy a TV that's good enough. I don't want to promote Amazon at the moment, but yeah, I realized I definitely have a hard limit to the size of TV I can fit on my chimney breast, basically. Because on Prime Day they did have a particularly good deal on a 70-inch OLED TV that was like 744, I think it was.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, hello. But yeah, I can't fit a 70-inch TV on my chimney breast. So 65 inches is definitely the maximum that I'll be going for, probably. So yeah.
I remember getting mine as well, and it was like completely random. I had no intention of picking up a new TV. I was picking up a PlayStation VR. And I was telling my girlfriend,
I'll buy something that won't work with this at all.
No, it was literally, I went to my girlfriend and I went, I'm looking at PlayStation VR. So she went, I already ordered one. I went, all right, I'll get a TV then. So, and it was a pretty good trade-off because I play the PSVR mostly and she uses the TV mostly. So yeah, it was fine.
There you go.
There we go. We got off track there. I will say, on the Discord, we are hanging out and having a good old fun time and having chats about stuff. I believe Kev is currently tearing down the PlayStation 5 interface, which is fine. Go do that. That looks like fun. But I did put a little post up on the Big Red Barrel UK lounge, as we call it. If you want to go over there and maybe give some suggestions of like show great moments that you liked that you think might make a decent animation.
Ooh.
Send that over because I have
funniest bits.
Yeah, I've had a project falling through and I've got a bit of surplus time. So I thought maybe I could do... No promises. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But thought we might bring back the old Big Red Barrel UK animations.
We'll see.
Anyway.
I think you should do episode 400 and the travelling in time stuff and stuff, no? You could do old versions of us and...
I believe, Ed, who shouldn't be allowed to suggest that because he wrote it, but Ed suggested we should do 300, specifically you fighting David Cage.
Oh, no.
As he gets naked, more and more naked.
Naked David Cage.
Yeah. I thought Millions of David Jeffries. Cage. I liked that one.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, okay.
And it doesn't have to be current. You can get some classic ones. You get Brady on there. And stuff. I've animated Brady before. It's fine. It's nice listening to someone's voice over and over again that isn't me. So I get enough of me editing. That's fine. Anyway, this has been episode 411 of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast, or BRB UK if you prefer. We prefer. Anyway, for this week, I have been Coleman.
I might have been Tim, and there might not be anyone on the end to nicely bookend me saying that, so that it won't make any more sense than it does anymore.
I mean, yeah. I could have done it. I've been Tim, and I'll go, yes, you were. Or something like that, Dan says.
I thought, you know, I'd save you. You normally have to do that after me, so I thought I'd save you from going before and after, so, you know.
Yeah. And until next time, dear listeners, go on Leeds, mighty Leeds. Bamford is my favourite. Until next time, dear listeners, a goodbye.
Are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.